Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Keep It Simple podcast. I'm Gavin Durson.
And I'm Tom LeCompte.
Thanks for joining us today. We're back again here recording down in the Jokesta, Inside Joke Studios recording lab back down here in my basement.
Very high tech.
Very high tech. We got lots of Kentucky Wildcat memorabilia on the walls.
Need some University of Louisville memorabilia.
And hey, hopefully we'll be able to debut some new songs on the podcast coming up soon. I've been working on my fifth album and got some really exciting tracks that I'm excited to share with everyone in the world. I think it's going to be the thing that really gets me over
this
the hump.
Gonna get you, this is going to get you discovered.
That's right. But today we want to talk about, we're continuing our series here of talking all things Simple Church and hopefully walking through, hopefully some folks out there newer to the idea, maybe this has been helpful to you. One of the topics that comes up a lot, Tom, I'm sure you get in Louisville, I do here in Lexington and all around with folks, is just this idea of how do we, what do we do about money? You know, Simple Church is, to me, it's one of the reasons, it's funny, it's one of the reasons why I think a lot of people are drawn to Simple Church is because of the fact that you don't have to have money to do Simple Church.
Much money. A little.
but money is important to the kingdom, and it's important. I mean, yeah. Jesus had a lot to say about money in the scriptures.
Yep. We have to have money to do things.
And so, you know, how do we handle money? You know, and there's usually no offering plates. And maybe in yours there is, but most Simple churches, they're not really passing around an offering plate in your living room or under a tree at the park, wherever you're gathering. So people oftentimes wonder, well, how does money work? And today we want to talk about that a little bit, perhaps throw some ideas out there, and you perhaps have another idea. We'd love to hear from you if so, and happy to pass that along. And I've certainly blogged about this topic extensively at simplechurchalliance.com. If you go on the blog and search money, you'll see some different things on there about that. But Tom, how do you all handle money in your all's house church and in the house churches involved with you there in Louisville?
Well, we have a bank account. We can collect money if there arises a need. So we have this bank account that we have available. However, what we don't do is we don't have any expenses. We don't have a mortgage on a building. We don't pay any staff. We occasionally rent a building for us to meet in. What the money that we have in the bank is for is to cover those small expenses. But also, if we have a member that has a need, for example, we just built a handicap ramp recently for one of our members, and that cost us about $4,000. We didn't actually build it. We had it built. So we have money that's available to do those kinds of things. Now, we don't, like you said, we don't pass a bucket or pass a hat or pass a plate each week. But everyone knows where to give the money. You know, they know who our treasurers are and where to give. That happens on a continual basis. But what mostly happens is family by family, each family is free to give whatever amount of money they want to whomever they want. If they're supporting a missionary or more than one missionary, then they can give it to them, and we don't ever have to see it. We don't know, and it doesn't concern us. We're not looking that all of our members say or give a percentage to anywhere. We don't want to know. So we're free to give tithes and offerings as we see fit.
Yeah.
So, and It works out good.
Yeah.
There's never a need among us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of the issues, you know, and I've heard of house churches opening bank accounts. And again, I think one thing maybe would be helpful to talk about here, you're talking about in the network of house churches,
right,
that you have, you all sort of have a bank account there.
We have one bank account.
Yeah, yeah. But one of the, and I think that's important to distinguish because, you know, one individual house church, I don't know, needs a bank account. An individual house church, I'm not really, you know, there's no one going to be on staff for that individual house church. There's not going to be really a need. I know of groups that have, and some choose to do that. It's fine, but I always kind of discourage it because...
Yeah, you don't need it.
You don't need it. And any time you bring money and money can just cause all kinds of problems. We probably could list them, a lot of reasons. You could probably imagine them. But just the fact that you have an account, you're going to have people take over it, people signing checks. You're kind of creating a complicated process once you introduce collecting money in an individual type of a house church setting. Now, the issue oftentimes becomes is that, and, you know, again, I think a problem in house church is that sometimes because of that and because there's not this regular collection of offering, sometimes there can be a decrease in generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that says. Like, maybe that says that, hey, we need to do better to help each other, remind each other to give. Maybe it says that we used to get, you know, people are giving in other places, maybe out of guilt because they don't want, there's pressure, you know, I don't know. We all have probably been in both of those situations, but I think that giving is important in the kingdom, obviously. And so, you know, when I sit down with someone starting a house church, this question comes up, and I will say, well, look, the first thing we need to understand is that if you're growing disciples and people are growing in their obedience to Christ and they're growing in their devotion to Him, they're going to become more generous. That is something,
right,
God is going to make them in all areas of their lives, their time, talent, and their treasures. They're going to become generous with that and more generous. And so we want to encourage that. We want to encourage people to grow in their generosity.
Right.
So what does that mean? Well, we've traditionally said you give 10% to your local church, and then if you have extra, you can give above and beyond to other things. That's kind of been this idea that people have put out there, which has been very harmful, I think, because...
Where does that 10% go? What does it go for?
And so what we talk about is giving generously to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And every house church might choose to figure out how to do that differently. Every individual and family might choose to do that differently. Some mm-hmm. house churches might, they might decide to take up a collection every so often for a particular cause or a need that is brought before the group. A lot of times it just honestly works best. The downside is... This is important to you. This can be a problem, but you don't get any tax receipt for this kind of thing. But if you're in a loving family, a simple church family, and you know somebody proposes that they're going to help so and so or with a need, you know, a lot of times people, if they trust that person, will say, "I'd like to help. I'm going to give you some money toward that as well. I'm glad you told me about that. I'm glad that's going on. I'm glad you're leading that and doing that. Mm-hmm. I want to join you in that." And it can be brought up as a matter, you know, giving to the needs around or to the kingdom. It could be world missions opportunities. It could be local mission, just needs in the community itself. You know, just by someone bringing it up, saying, I'm going to give to this, and I'd like to invite anyone that would like to join me, you know. That a lot of times takes care of itself. Now, if you write a check to get somebody a washing machine in your simple church, you know, may not get a tax receipt for that.
Right.
And I just say to that, then just don't worry about it. Don't get a tax receipt. I suppose that sometimes people in house churches might want to do things that maybe are much grander than that, and there might be a reason that someone would want a tax receipt if it was, you know, in the thousands of dollars or something like this. I'm all about not paying more taxes than you have to, but you know, I think that's a special circumstances.
Yeah.
Mostly, it is. It can be very easily handled without opening a bank account, and just by people encouraging generosity, sharing needs as they are presented, letting people know, and especially newer believers, how they can give to make a difference, and how in their community and in the world, and sharing those needs just informally, and it seems to work out.
Yeah.
And here's something else I'll just say about it, is that I think there have been there are people who have decided to kind of collect money as a group or even as a network and then give to things, like pooling. Sometimes there's been this idea, and again, this is a more of a preference. It's not, I don't think this is wrong, but I know of networks that have said, we are going to give to this network, and then the network is going to give to missions. And sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes I think it's because we want to be able to say, last year, our house churches gave X number of dollars to stuff, and create a metric to say we're growing in generosity so that we can feel good about what we're, And some, maybe there's something to that. I don't want to say that's wrong or not. Once you do that, once you start doing that, you are now creating a group of people somewhere that's going to be making decisions for how everyone's money is going to be used, and there's going to be policies and procedures, and so just know that, I think my feeling on this, I'm willing to change, and I'm always rethinking this issue, but I want to believe that it's not something that we have to try to manage from a centralized position of giving in people in house church. We just encourage giving. And as we build relationships with people in our group, we can hopefully learn to ask tough questions like in our simple church, hey, how are you all giving to the kingdom? And that we can say, let's try to give more this year than we did last year. And maybe there would be even simple churches be willing to be transparent about what they give to and how much they give. And that those would all be good, healthy things done in the context of relationship. And I believe that it can work out that way well.
I'll tell you a story, what happened to us. You've heard this story before, Gavin. Several years ago in our church, we had our monthly gathering of all our groups. We have several groups, and then once a month we gather all together. We were at an outdoor park, and someone brought a guest missionary, and we had them stand up and tell what they were doing and everything, and they weren't soliciting money in any way. They were just, expressing what they were doing so that we could pray for them. Well, at the end of that service, we all kind of reached into our pockets, pulled out our wallets, and whatever we didn't know they were coming, so we weren't prepared, but we came up with $3,000. And they didn't ask us to do this, but we came up with $3,000 and we handed it to them. And it's like, wow, just about, I think it was 100 people there.
Yeah.
And we came up with $3,000 that morning, from our pockets.
Yeah.
And that was money given to them and their ministry. So that's one example of what a church can do that's not tied to a budget or an organization. So, we had a relationship with that missionary. We knew what they were doing. And we all wanted to give, and that's what we did.
Yeah, one thing I can remember a story. When we got started, we were sitting around our living room, and we were all talking about this issue of giving, and we kind of realized that a lot of us were already giving to the kingdom. Yeah. There was this temptation to say, well, gosh, maybe we should give money to something. We're not really giving. But again, it was kind of that old way of thinking, we need to collect money as a group. And again, there are times for that, and some groups will want to do that, and I say go for it if that's what God's telling you to do. But we just haven't really ever done that. I think we could grow in that area. But anyways, regardless, this time, we all sort of realized that a lot of us in the room were already giving, so we decided, why don't the next few months or however long, each time we get together, why don't someone come in and just share about the things that you're giving to financially, where your money is going to the kingdom, and tell us about those things. Right. And so it was unbelievable. For the next several weeks, we learned so much about each other in the group one, but just to sit around in a small little group and to realize that, wow, in this room, God is using this, our group here, to give to 20 different things going on all over the world. Yeah. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. But it was really cool. And there were some people there who weren't giving really anything, heard about all these opportunities, and they went and said, wow, that is so cool. I didn't know anything like that happened. I want to give to that, you know. And other people, without even being pressured, they were encouraged to give just because they learned that, you know, others were giving to these things and how much it had been a blessing to them and how they had met the people. And some people had even traveled to visit places, you know. So you learn so much about what God was doing in the world, but also about each other and how God had uniquely put those burdens on each people's hearts within your own community. It was a wonderful thing. And it'd be something that, you know, if you are a part of a simple church, I would highly recommend you to do periodically, is to say, hey, why don't the next, you know, forever, how long ever we got to do it, each time we get together, do that. You know, one family come in and share about those things that you're giving to. And yeah, people brought in books and maps of the worlds and pointed out. I mean, it was they really got excited about it because these were things. And that's a thing that, you know, unfortunately, again, sometimes a lot of people in the church are giving to all kinds of things. But, you know, a lot of times we don't exactly talk about those sorts of things if it's not the official giving of a church or whatever. But right. But in a simple church, it's all official giving. If it's going to ministry or if it's going to someone who's not even a Christian, it's all official giving.
Yeah. Something that we've done in the past is we've had a lot of ex-missionaries, ex-staff people, or current staff people that are involved in ministry, parachurch. Like my wife is in InterVarsity and several others. What we've done in the past is we have kind of published a quote giving guide, and it's just a list of the various missionaries that our church, missions and ministries that our church touches.
Yeah.
Whether it's people that are on staff in our church or people that are supporting something, like, you know, we had a lot of people doing adoptions or going on overseas trips and things like that. So we compiled a list of that and passed it around, and we probably need to revisit that and update it. They weren't like the official giving guide, but it was just like, hey, you know, if you're looking for a suggestion, try one of these.
Yeah,
you know? And that's good. These are solid. You know the people that are involved with them. You know what they do.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something to give to, try one of these.
Yeah. So, you know, I think again, just to reiterate, I think the my main concern as someone who is leading or helping other people to lead simple churches again is, are we growing in our generosity, you know? And that is something that we want to keep in front of people and encourage people. And we don't want simple church to become an excuse for people not to give or not to be generous. And I would be lying if I didn't say I think that is a concern at times, because, mm-hmm. you know, but you have to be a little more proactive. I think, you know, again, we're kind of used to someone telling us put your money in this box, and then we just sort of assume that I put my money in there and it went to God's going to use it, and we don't ever think about it again. It's just mindless. And a lot of people, of course, in Simple Church would say, hey, met people. Hey, I realized that 98% or 99% of the money in the offering plate was just going to keep the thing going. And that was when I decided I'm not doing this anymore. You know, that's kind of an eye opener. And some churches do a lot better job than that than others. But a lot of times people just don't even know. They don't go to business meetings. They don't know where the money, you know, you just kind of put the money in the offering plate and you feel good about it. Well, Simple Church, you got to kind of own this, you know, and you have to, and I think that's a very good thing. It's one of the complicated things about Simple Church. It makes things, it's a little more work on your part, you know, to say, Lord, what do you really want me to give to? And am I giving enough? And, you know, I'm not just going to trust that these people say give to this and just mindlessly do it. Maybe I do want to follow someone else's lead, but I need to deal with the Lord about it. And I think that's a wonderful process that we want to encourage everybody in Simple Church to be doing.
I have a question, and I'd like your opinion on it, and I'll give my opinion. But, you know, we're speaking of Simple Church as a lay movement, that there are not professional, you know, paid pastors involved in this, although, you know, ex-pastors or whatever can be involved in it, certainly. However, Gavin, do you think that there's ever a call for a small simple church to collect money and pay their pastor, or have a pastor, or pay someone to do all this stuff?
Well, I don't think, I guess, obviously, I mean, I think, you know, my situation would be that, you know, I am working as a church planter of sorts in many ways. I'm sort of my own missionary, but it would be hard to imagine a single simple church needing to pay a pastor to pastor the simple church. If it's truly a participatory, non-top-down led simple church, because everyone is there's no need to prepare, you know, maybe for someone in that group to go do a project, a mission trip, or, you know, maybe, it's just really hard for me to imagine it. Now, as we've talked about reproducing not house churches, but networks of house churches, I think our hope has been that, you know, if we help, say, someone in the eastern part of Kentucky or in Ohio or some other state, that as a house church grew and multiplied naturally, you know, if a city end up having 50 simple churches, for example, and maybe let's say the Lord called up someone from within that community to serve as sort of an apostolic leader of that network, and then to help other networks, and that there could be a situation there. Well, hopefully this would happen where they would say, you know what, like, This person, God's wanting to send them out to start more of these. But I think the difference is that here's I guess what I'm thinking is that it seems to me that when people were giving, and this can be tricky, but when people give in the New Testament, it wasn't for people to take care of them. It was for people to go and help others.
Right.
And I think so to me, that's the thing. And I've even tried to be very clear about that in my role. And as people are transitioning in this, it's easy for people to hear what I'm doing and they just think, oh, well, you're the pastor of the house churches. And language, you know, matters sometimes more than others. In some case, I'm fine with that. But in a real sense, I'm not really doing what a pastor does. I see my role as being one who is trying to go to start house churches and house church networks where there are none,
right?
Rather than, and again, I'm going to do what I can, as other people will as well. But it's not just to sit here and sort of take care of the people in house churches already. So, you know, but I think some of those things are important to define and be clear about, because I don't see that there would ever be a need for a house church to pay someone to be the pastor of a house church.
I kind of agree with you. I can see special needs, you know, like a team sort of thing, or like a special apostolic, I'm being sent somewhere to do a specific thing. And, you know, you read about the Apostle Paul and what he did. He was always on the move. He didn't let money stop him from what the Lord called him to do. And if he could, if the churches that he ministered to would take up a collection to give to him, that was awesome. If they weren't willing to do that, no problem. I know how to make tents. So that's what he did.
Yeah.
And he made money making tents. So he said he was content either way. But yeah, I can see, you know, like the Church of Antioch. They not only prayerfully sent him out, but I'm pretty sure they collected money for him and Barnabas to go on their first trip. And he brought money back. He brought money back to Jerusalem. You know, he collected money for a specific need.
I think there's a tendency too in this conversation, and I've encountered this some, to overreact about the money thing. You know, because I've met people who are like, well, I mean, I've had people even say to me like, you know, I explain to them what I'm doing. I don't think they fully understand what I'm doing, but they're so hardcore about the money thing that if anybody is doing any sort of quote-unquote ministry and they're being supported in any form or fashion by, you know, other Christians, like, it's automatically a bad thing. You know, unless, of course, it's funny because usually when you talk to these people, they're usually giving money they're usually supporting someone in some other country to do stuff, you know, whatever. It's like, but it's not okay here for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know, you get into these weird things, but you got to just be careful that there's no, and I've wrestled with this a lot. I mean, there's been times I've almost even, because of some of these conversations, I've almost felt like, man, I can't even maybe they're right. Maybe I should just quit trying to do this, you know, because, you know, but then I realized that's silly. Like, I never asked to do this in the first place. And I've told the Lord 100 times, if he don't want me to do this, that I'd be happy to go do something else for a paycheck. And many days I think I'd almost prefer that, but the Lord has allowed me to do it. And I feel he's called me to do it. And he keeps affirming that by provision, and
the workman is worthy of the
work. Yeah. So, you know, I think there's a tendency to overreact in that, because anything that's got to do with money all of a sudden can become corrupt or whatever. And, you know, we have these overreactions to things whenever, you know, I think I think we want to just be sensitive to that as well, because right. I think, it is kind of like, what are we supporting? And you know what? There's going to be people that are going to be led to support things that I wouldn't feel led to support. And we just need to celebrate that. If people are being led to be generous, then, and they're taking ownership of their giving, then we need to have the faith to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. And he's going to raise up people to do things and be supported in some ways. And sometimes in some seasons of that, you know, are unique and creative, and I think those are all good things. So
there's a statistic that is thrown out, and when I was in seminary with I went through seminary with the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, you know, Southern Baptist denomination, and this was 15 years ago when I think the statistic was somewhere in the neighborhood of 1% of money given from a church towards missions, only 1% actually got to an unreached person that had never heard the gospel before. It was less than 1%. Money designated for missions overall was somewhere in the neighborhood of 8%. I can't remember, 8 to 10%. And, you know, of that, only 1% was actually pioneer missions, you know, preaching the gospel to someone who'd never heard the gospel before. A lot of it was, you know, support, building a school, building a hospital, feeding something, I don't know. So that's something to think about. If you're in a house church, simple church, you have the ability to change that percentage. You can find a ministry that you like that does only that, what you want to support, and give, you know, your tithe, your offering. Maybe you don't tithe 10%. Maybe you tithe 20%, 30%. Maybe you can't tithe 10%. But whatever your percentage is, you can direct where that goes. And if your concern is getting the gospel out to an unreached people group, then you can do that. If you're concerned about feeding the poor, you can do that. You know, as much as you want, whatever percentage you want. So that's the flexibility you have.
And I guess one last thought on that too is that, you know, the treasure principle says that wherever your heart is, there your treasure will also be. Actually, it doesn't say that. It says the opposite. It says where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And I think that right now, maybe you don't know what to give to. You're in a house church. You're starting. You don't. You know. I would encourage you to give to something. Just to begin giving. If you don't know what to give to, then ask someone you know what is a good ministry they could support, or do they know someone that you could help? I would just really encourage you to give, and to give generously, even if your heart is not in it, because I think where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Sometimes we give and then our heart becomes attached to it, and sometimes we think of it that principle is the opposite. Whenever we think, well, whatever my heart is, that's what I'll give to. And that is great when that works out. But a lot of times your heart follows where the pocketbooks go. And, yeah. You know, there is something about money in our day and age. And I see it so much, especially working with young people. Like, if you're not giving now, you're not going to give when you make all that money later. So give if you make minimum wage, give a percent and try to grow in the amount that you give.
Right.
And I think God will really, really, really bless you for that. And you're going to have a wonderful life of seeing God use you to do things and help others and bless others in ways you may have never even thought possible.
And give biblically. And what I mean by that is give to a cause or an organization that is a biblical cause. What is a biblical cause? Well, obviously, what does the scripture say? You know, getting the gospel out where it's needed the most, you know? How will they hear unless someone is sent? Mm-hmm. And, you know,
or to needs or people.
To needs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't always have to have a... Again, I think, you know...
But if your idea of a charity is Planned Parenthood, maybe you need to rethink that. Rescuing puppies, that's noble, but I'm not sure that 100% biblical. I mean, if you want to give your money to that, that's fine. I don't know if I'd call that a tithe, but, you know.
Yeah, those are things you can sort out with the Lord. And I think, you know, the bottom line is that you give as, you know, as He leads and directs you to give. And, you know, sometimes that may be just you're going to, like I said, I know one simple church, they bought a guy a moped so that he could get a job, yeah. You know, going to...
And that's biblical.
Yeah.
So buying a moped, that could be, you know, yeah. for the motivation, that's biblical, yeah.
Well, now that we've offended all the animal lovers, let's go ahead and call it a day.
I'm going to go out and buy a puppy right now. Out of my own pocket.
Well, thanks for joining us. Before we leave, let's get real quick some... Stuff we like.
Stuff we like. I like puppies.
All right.
I love puppies. I love dogs.
All right. Well.
Do you like dogs, Gavin?
I'm allergic to dogs.
Oh, man. How about cats?
We actually just lost our cat 16 years.
He 16 was, years? Wow.
Yeah, he's a pretty old cat.
Well, you can go out and get another cat then.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that either.
Cat hater. thanks for listening to Keep It Simple Podcast.
Yeah, I'm Gavin Durson for Tom LeComp. We'll see you next time. Keep It Simple Podcast.com. Send us some feedback and any of your questions, comments, and we would love to hear from you. Thanks
Send
for joining
us. Pictures of your puppies. Bye. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments. Real simple.